Are you ready for the word? This is part two in the law of growth. And I've called this one Step Up, Living Higher. And so you'll need to get last week's if you didn't get it. But anyone seen the movie Step Up?
Yes.
No? It's nothing to do with this. Nothing to do with that movie. So I just wanted to put that one right out there. That's a dance movie. This is nothing to do with that at all. But it's interesting that spiritual growth doesn't occur without taking steps of faith. And I've seen that people, you know, coming into church and attending church, but you know, sadly, just attending church doesn't cause growth in your life. Because there's many people come to church every day. In fact, I used to travel the US for years and with business, and every second person I met in business attended church. But their life was not anything like you would say would be a strong Christian. So they've been generationally going to church. So attending church doesn't make you grow. Now, attending church, of course, is vital to your growth. It is vital. And the Apostle Paul, through the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, said, he wrote this in Hebrews 10 and verse 25. It's not on your screen at all. It says, "Not forsaking assembling of ourselves together, as is the manner of some, but exhorting one another, and so much more as the day, as you see the day approaching." So it's more important right now to be in church, because the day he was talking about is the day of the return of Jesus. And it's so much important that we don't forsake, we come together and we encourage and exhort each other. It's important for our growth. But there's other factors that we need to know in order to grow spiritually. And Ephesians 4 and verse 11 says this, and you can write that scripture down or turn there. But Ephesians 4 and verse 11, I encourage you to take some of these notes because you need to go back over these. And he said, "And he himself," talking about Jesus, "gave some to be apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, and some pastors and teachers for the equipping of the saints, for the work of ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ, till we all come to the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, to a perfect man, to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ." So the reason why these gifts have been given to the body is so that you can grow to the measure or the full stature of Jesus. Now, that's not his physical stature. We don't exactly know how tall he was, but it's a stature of how he was spiritually. He was a spiritual giant. There was nothing that he could not do spiritually. So that's the word saying that we should be measured up to the full stature, the fullness of Christ. So that's the job that we have. And in fact, that's my job and my calling and my responsibility to teach you and equip you so you can do the work of ministry, the same thing that Jesus did, I want to equip you to do. That's my calling. It's my calling to get you from being a baby in Christ to become full strength, full stature, not easily shaken, strong in the Lord and mighty in the Lord. So my job is to do that, and I do that by teaching and preaching the Word of God. And I do understand my responsibility. And I carry this out. It's very important to me. And I do this in thinking about James 3 and verse 1, because James 3 and says this in verse 1, "My brethren, let not many of you become teachers." It's an interesting way to start a scripture, isn't it? "Let not many of you become teachers, knowing that we shall receive a stricter judgment." So I receive a stricter judgment than you because I teach. So I'm responsible for the words that I speak out. Why? Because I can lift up or I can pull down. I can sow words of truth or I could sow words of doubt and unbelief. And so there's many people that teach, and they teach not according to the word, but they teach according to how they feel. We don't have a good feel message. Our message is not how we feel. You know, our message doesn't say, if it feels good, do it. There is a message like that, but it comes from Satan. And he preaches that, if it feels good, do it. But this is a message that's not by what we feel, it's by what we say. So you determine how you feel by what you declare in your life. And you can go around saying, I feel so sick. I feel this, I feel that. No, you've got to speak to your own body, and you've got to declare how your body will respond, how your body's feeling, and say, no, I'm a more than an overcomer. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. I am the healed. So I tell my body how to respond. I don't let my body tell me how to respond. So it's important there, and it says, verse 2, for we all stumble in many things. If anyone does not stumble in word, he is a perfect man and also able to bridle the whole body. So if you can get your speaking correct, your body's going to come into order. That word tells me that if I speak correctly, my body will respond. It's like a horse. If I turn the bridle of a horse this way, the horse responds. If I turn it that way, the horse responds to that. The same way my words determine how my body responds. If my words say, I feel sick, I feel tired, what happens? My body feels sick and tired. But if I declare that I'm healed and I'm full of strength, my body will respond.
Amen.
That's where perfection comes, because we determine, your spirit man determines how your body's going to respond. So the step up today is saying, okay, step one in my growth is going to determine, my words are going to determine how I'm going to respond. So faith 101, the first step in faith, change the manner of a speech. What you say, take an inventory of what you say. And I can come around you for 10 minutes and I'll find out what level of faith you are, because what you say. What's coming out of your mouth, is it fear? Or is it faith? And you can determine that. You're the one who determines what step you're on in the things of God. So my place, my calling is to get you a place where you're not going to stumble in your words. And then through that, you'll reach perfection. And a lot of people said to me, Michael, you're not going to reach perfection. No, it's only when Jesus comes. No, the word tells me it's available right now. It's right now we're to be in this area of being perfection, the fullness of Christ. Same things that Jesus did, said also you'll do, and not only these things, but greater things. So it's available for us, the body of Christ, and that's what we're talking about today. You may be thinking that the messages that I preach at this church are maybe too confronting. And that's what I've had people tell me, that they're too confronting. But I'll tell you how things work in this church. The Holy Spirit speaks to me, it gets on my life, so he says then get on people's lives. So what the Holy Spirit tells me, I tell you. There's nothing that I preach that I haven't gone through. There's nothing that I'm speaking on that God's not taking me on this journey, and I may be on a step, and it may be a couple of steps up from where you might be seeing yourself, but I've been on that step, and I've been on this step, and I've taken a progression of a step where God wants me to go. Do I think I'll ever finish that steps? I don't think that we'll ever finish that, because there's always more that God's got for us to grow in. So it's a progression. And the steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord. It tells us that. So it's interesting. In this church, and we had a year sabbatical, and before that we had the church at Wall's End, and until we closed that down. But we had people that had come at different times to the church and got all excited about things, and all of a sudden they came and they said, well, look, I don't think we can stay here anymore. Some actually said to me that we're on a much higher level. They thought that we were on this really high level compared to where they were. And so that's too high for us. We can't be on that same level as you. And I said, no, I'm bringing you up to this level. And so they couldn't reach that. They said, no, it's too hard for us to get to that level. And some people said, Michael, your teaching is too advanced. Go figure. The teaching's too advanced. Some said that they'd been living a lie and they could never reach the level because it feels like they're living a lie. It's interesting how people see things. And some said they just came under too much conviction. They said the word you bring, it just brings too much conviction. Well, if that's the case, then the Holy Spirit's doing something. Because the Holy Spirit's the only one who convicts people. It's not me. And I thought, how could that be? Because I believe our teaching is in fact very basic. The teaching that I bring is very basic, and I always endeavor to make it extremely clear and easy to understand. I don't actually know how I could make it clearer and very easy. I'm just taking people on a journey to grow in faith. But most people don't want to grow. Most people think, well, I'm actually okay. My life's okay. I've got a few friends. I've got a job. You know, I want to watch TV week in, week out. I don't want to get off the couch, and I don't want to read my word. I don't want to get up and pray. So I'm comfortable right down here. Do you know you have to give an account of the measure of faith that God's given us? I don't want anyone in this church to be at that level when Jesus comes again and he says, what have you done with what I've given you? And he says, take it away from him and give it to someone who's got 10. And that's what the word tells us is going to happen. And there'll be many people say, I didn't realize you're going to do that. Well, it's in the word. I want people to come up from that level to say, no, I've got the one talent, but I want to go to 5. I want to go to 10. I want to do everything that God's got in store for me. I want him to say, well, able, full of faith person. Well done. That's what I want to see over the people that are part of our life, that are partnering with us. But there is a battleground. And you have to understand that there's a battleground. So when I'm preaching and when I'm teaching, there's a battleground that goes on right in this room. And then we know that there's one who was waiting to steal the word, and that's Satan. And he's waiting to steal it right out of your heart. So when you hear the word, what happens? You hear the word, it comes into your mind, and then you meditate, it goes into your heart. And the word tells us that this is the process that happens. And when it goes in our heart, it takes root. And as you water that, as you nurture that, it will produce fruit. It will produce something. But what does the word tell us? It tells us in Mark 4 and verse 15. It says, these are the ones that are by the wayside where the word is sown. When they hear, Satan comes immediately and takes away the word that was sown in their hearts. So Satan's going to come with something to snatch the word out before it can take root. So when the word is spoken, you've got the option to say, no, I'm going to meditate, I'm going to receive it. And Susan's been saying this for a while, receive it, receive it. And that's what faith's about. You have to receive the word, say, I'm going to take that, I'm going to make a decision to take that into my life, and it's going to produce something. It's going to cause me, that word is going to cause me to get up to this level. It's going to cause me to grow. And it may not be obvious at first, like when a child grows, but people around can see there's some growth in your life. You've taken a step. You know, that step is designed just for you. It's not a step that is ridiculous, and where people have a problem, they try to take the step up here, which is not designed for us. So that a step that's designed for you is easy. It's not hard, but it takes a decision. I have to decide to step up into things of God. I can come to a step and I can say, well, it looks a good step, but I don't know if I'll take that step today. What happens if I step and I do fall? What happens if I take that step and people laugh at me when I'm taking that step? You know, do I look ridiculous because I'm standing taller than everyone else right now? There's all these things that the enemy wants to come and bring you. And if you take that step and you get up this one and people think, oh, look, I don't know. Do they think I'm too spiritual? You know, and people told me I'm too spiritual, I'm not natural. That's what you should be. We should be spiritual. We are born of the Spirit of the living God. So don't let anyone come and tell you you're too spiritual. No, I should be more spiritual. I should be more like Jesus, more like the Anointed One. That's how I should be. I am more spirit than I am natural. But there'll be people say, you're too heavenly minded for any earthly good. No, it's the other way around. You're heavenly minded for earthly good. Because it's heaven that changes earth. It's not the other way around. You'll never change the earth by things in the earth. You only change things that are seen by things that are not seen. So we have to get up that level so we can change what's in your life right now. It's so important that we understand this. But I'm not surprised that there's a battleground raging, because God has spoken to Susan and I as your pastors, and we've been given very clear instruction by the Lord. I mean, crystal clear. He's told us, and I can see the vision of where God wants you to be, and it's so clear in our spirit of where God wants you to be. And it's burned into our hearts, this vision. You know, and the promise of God is so sure in our hearts, and I believe that it's going to come to pass this year, the vision that God's given us. He's promised so many things. And I'm going to remind you of this right now, because when you hear this prophetic word that was only July last year, end of July or early August, you'll see why I'm on this mission to get you to this level. And he said, there's a great glory coming upon your ministry, and people will know that it's worth fighting for, as well as investing time and money. Now, last week we spoke about time and money. And I'm sure that got you balking that first step, because you can't do anything in the kingdom of God that doesn't cost you some time, some money, some focus to do that. But right now, because it's trusting God. You know, the word said there's a massive revelation coming to all your church about their offering, about their tithes, and they're going to be so hungry to give, and they're just going to see a massive breakthrough in their finances. Why do you think that I'm on this journey of saying, I want to teach you how to give, because it's going to bring abundance in your life? I know the abundance in my life is determined only by what I give. That's what determines it. So that's the basic step that we spoke out last week. Unless you can trust God in your finances, forget all the other steps. Because there's so many times that he challenges about our finances. He says, the tithe belongs to me. But so many people can't get that one step. And the reason why I'm on this, because God has spoken personally to us and prophesied personally to us that that's what's going to happen in this church. It says there's going to be a great revelation that's going to come to all your church about this. And it says a lot of businesses around your church actually are having a hunger. Do you know what a hunger is? A hunger means that I need it. You ever seen a hungry person? Everything goes out the door, they just want to get that food. They're so hungry to be filled. And that's where business people are going to say, we want to partner with this church. Why? Because the anointing that's on the church for abundance of finances. They're going to see people, they'll see the partners that we should, and they'll say, how can those guys get that in their life? It's not natural, it's supernatural. And when people start to see it's supernatural, then they want to hunger with it. They want to know, how you got that. It says they want to partner with you. And they said, and the word went on to say, this building is spreading out now to community, and it's going to be empowered by the vision that you have for the church and for your region. It said a revival of people is coming, and also finances, and going to be able to send more people, going to be able to pay for more staff, to be able to help out the work within the church to see the revival. And the church will be an oasis and a Holy Ghost anointed place. He said, no dream and no vision that you have is too big for God, and he's going to multiply everything you put your hand to. He's going to bless every single area of your life, your ministry, your family, your finances. So whatever word was spoken over us is spoken over you. Partners with us, partners with Jesus. And I absolutely believe that beyond a shadow of a doubt. And so don't be offended when I start getting excited about teaching you these things, because I know that unless we get up to step one, we can't go to step two and step three in the progress, because the steps have been ordered by the Lord and now it's time to grow. So the steps have been ordered for you by God. And so God, and that's what the word tells us, that each step has been ordered to shape, to fit your growth. It's been shaped and designed for you to grow. You know, if you look at a mountain, very difficult to climb. But when somebody's put stairs in that, it's so easy. Because you just take one step at a time. It's the same way when you go and climb the Harbour Bridge. You know, naturally it would be almost impossible, but there's steps. There's rails. It makes it easy to get up and to do that, to climb that bridge. Something that would be impossible is now possible because the steps have been designed for us to go up there. And that's the same in the walk of God. These the things that you see there, impossible in the natural, but he's put steps there for you to say, this step, and this step, and you'll be perfect in the things of God. So Psalm 37 verse 23 says this, the steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord, and he delights in his way. So the great thing about this, that God designs them, and when you start stepping, he delights in the way you're going. When you're taking steps of faith, it brings delight. He's actually delighted because you're taking steps of faith. He gets great pleasure in our steps of faith. And it goes on to say, though he fall, he shall not be utterly cast down. And that, what that means is that if somebody takes a step of faith and that was too big, they're not cast down. They say, okay, I need to get some more word in my life. I couldn't handle that. I need to get some more word. So when I get some more word, I can take that step, see, and not fall. But if when you fall down, it just means you haven't developed the word strong enough for that step. So you go back to the word and you get that more word and say, no, I believe I can receive. I believe I have that. So you can say there's another step up. And once you get to that step, you're not going to fall back there. Then you're developing, what's the next step, Lord? What is the next area that you want me to grow? Maybe I've got to take a step out to prophesy. Maybe that's what it is. God will let you know. And each step is a step of faith. Because many people said to me, I can't prophesy. I don't know how to do that. But how many people stepped out in our school of prophecy and started to prophesy and hear from God? It was a step of faith they took. Same faith that you got saved with, the same faith you use for prophecy, for everything that you get is by a step, by stepping out in faith. So important. And it says, though you fall, you won't be cast down. That person's cast right down. And that's not what's going to happen to you. That's somebody who's falling down, who wasn't prepared, had too much stuff in their life. But the word says you won't be cast down like that. Though you fall, your fall will just, oh, can't take it right now. I've got to prepare more. So you're not going to be disheartened. That person will be so disheartened about that fall. Take too many steps. Maybe try to run up the stairs. One step at a time. You know, our spiritual growth is actually ordered by the Lord individually for you. It's not one plan fits all. There's not one plan, one measure that fits everybody. Everyone's at a different level in their faith and their growth. And so there's a step that's just been designed by God just for you. And he'll speak to you what that next step is. Be encouraged in that, because he will talk to you about that. And he's always encouraging us to take another step, because without faith, it's impossible to please him. Without a step, you could say, it's impossible to please him. Without another step, it's impossible to please him. Do you think that it pleases God if we stay on step two? No, because he's designed more steps for us. So our spiritual life is growing day by day, week by week, month by month, onwards and upwards. And he's got a great plan of growth for you for this year. It's amazing, really. So we need to take measured steps, not giant leaps. You know what causes somebody to fall in the natural? Have you ever seen people falling downstairs? Because they try to take too many steps at once. They've decided that they don't need, they can jump up multiple steps. That's why they fall. Maybe the burden they're carrying is too big. You know, they try to go upstairs with too many things. They fall with that because the burden's been too heavy for them. There's too much baggage. There's a lot of reasons why they fall. But in the natural, you're designed just to walk upstairs. You're designed to step them up. And if you do what how they're designed for, you will grow. You will grow in God. Galatians 6 and verse 7. I'll read this in a couple of versions. We've read this before, but it says here, do not be deceived. Now, whenever the word opens with that, you can know there's deception about this area. If the word says, do not be deceived, it means deception is here. Very easy to be deceived. God is not mocked. So this is another one saying that God is not mocked. He's not going to be mocked in this area. Whatever a man sows, that he'll also reap. For if he sows to the flesh, he'll of the flesh reap corruption, but he sows to the Spirit, of the Spirit he'll reap everlasting life. And verse 9, and we spoke about this maybe a month ago, and it said, and let us not grow weary while doing good, for in due season we shall reap if we do not lose heart or faint not. The King James Version says it this way, and let us not be weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap if we faint not. So it's like the same way that we're stepping up these stairs. If we don't get weary, we will not fall back. We won't faint. And that's doing good, progressing in our life. And God says you won't be mocked in this. What you sow, you'll reap. And that's what I'm talking about. The step you've got to do is the step of sowing. New Living Translation. So let's not get tired of doing what is good. At just the right time, we'll reap a harvest of blessing if we do not or don't give up. The Amplified. And let us not lose heart and grow weary and faint in acting nobly and doing right. For in due time and the appointed season, we shall reap if we don't loosen or relax our courage and faint. So the promise of God is sure that we will reap a harvest if you don't give up, if you don't get weary, if you don't lose heart. The word says, let God be true and every man be a liar. So that means God's word is true. His promise is sure of the reward. If it's true, the reward is true, then all you have to do is not lose heart. All you have to do is don't give up. Because God said it will come to pass. But how many people have given up because they haven't gone up the steps? How many people have given up because it's taken too long? It says in due time, due season, you will reap. There's a due season where faith will demand the increase. You know, the problem with a lot of Christians is they start so well, and they mean so well, and they get excited about the start. But unless they continue in faith, they will not obtain the prize. You know, the trial of your faith is not so much the trial the enemy brings, it's the trial of time. Are you going to stay strong in the word that he's given you? Are you going to not doubt the word that he's given us? Because in the time period, when you look at the situation and say, nothing's changed. I don't see the change. I've taken another step, but I still don't see the change. I don't see the abundance. You've got to then get to a place, do I agree the word of God or do I disagree with it? The same with Abraham. He had been promised the whole, you know, probably at the age of 35, he was promised a child. That would be the father of nations. 75, it didn't happen. 85, it didn't happen. 95, it didn't happen. But he did not waver at the promise. He believed, he was fully persuaded that God was able and willing to do what he said he'd do. So when he got to the age of 100, the promise was there. How many people would have given up at the age of 50, 60, 70, and said, it's not working. It's not working. The longer the wait, I say, the bigger the prize. The longer that you're waiting for the promise, the bigger the prize, the bigger the harvest that you're going to get. So you should stay stronger because you say, Lord, there's a great harvest coming to me. Because if it came early at stage one, it would have been a big prize. But God is allowing that situation to develop your faith. Because there's a great harvest. I know there's a great harvest coming. I know it's coming upon the people in this church. It's coming upon Susan and I. I just know that. I'm fully persuaded that there's a harvest and abundance coming. So James 1 and verse 2, it says this. My brethren, count it all joy when you fall into various trials, knowing that the testing of your faith produces patience. But let patience have its perfect work, that you may be perfect and complete, lacking nothing. See, patience is an interesting thing. Patience is not just being somebody who just is patiently waiting for something. You know, they have a waiting room in patient for patients in a doctor's surgery. You know, that's not a good description of it. See, to be patient is to be fully persuaded that you don't have to do one more thing to reach your calling or to have your prize. Patient is knowing that all you've had to do is declare what's going to happen and you're just waiting for it to come. You're just waiting, you're expecting. Every day you're expecting it. But you're patient because you have done everything that you're required to do, and your job was to sow the word. Your job was to be a sower. Your job is not to go and find the harvest. It will find you if you do not faint, if you do not give up, and let patience have its perfect way in you. Patience is not being anxious about it, not doubting it, but just saying, it's mine. Patience in receiving something, I have it now. It's mine. It belongs to me. It's already in the mail. It's here. God sent it. He's agreed to it. It's happening. And verse 5, and if anyone lacks wisdom, let him ask of God, who gives to all liberally without reproach. See, wisdom is knowing the future. That's what wisdom's about. If you want to know the future, ask God. If you ask God about the future, he says, that's where you're going to be. I've declared it. You can be patient in that because you're confident that that's what God's told you, that your destiny, your purpose is here. Most people don't know where their destiny is. Most people don't know what God's plan is for their life, but it's all wrapped up in the Word. So if you study the Word, he'll reveal to you what his plan and purpose and what that is, and wisdom comes that way. And he says, but let him ask in faith without doubting, for he who doubts is like the wave of the sea, which is driven and tossed by the wind. Let not that man suppose he will receive anything from the Lord. He is a double-minded man, unstable in all his ways. So every time the enemy comes with doubts, you take them captive and you cast them down. So no, I'm not going to doubt the Word of God. How many times was Abraham was given an opportunity to doubt the Word of God? But it said he was fully persuaded. He did not doubt the Word of God. He did not consider anything else. He didn't consider the deadness of his body or the deadness of Sarah. You know, we walk by faith, and the walk of faith is actually not easy. And there's no way in the Bible that says it's going to be easy. We're not promised that it's going to be easy. But the Word of God is full of exciting words and promises. For example, do not fear. Do not lose heart. Do not grow weary. Do not be deceived. Don't be conformed to the world. Free immorality. Do not judge others. Although I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, your rod and staff, they comfort me. I am with you even to the ends of the earth. I will never leave you nor forsake you. The reason why these words are given to us, because we know that there's an opportunity to get weary. There's an opportunity to fall back. That's why the Word comes, to encourage us. So every time you pick the Word up, God speaks to you and encourages you in your faith and says, don't grow weary. Don't give up. He will come through. You know, there's a liken to our Christian walk, like the game we used to play as kids. And if you can go there for me. And you all probably remember this game of snakes and ladders. So I've lost my board somewhere, so I had to get off the internet, so it's a computer type game. So hands up if you haven't played this game. Most people have played Snakes and Ladders. So, but Christian life is like this. And so I liken it because it's interesting. You know, when you land on that space, you can jump to a higher level. Through the ladder, through the steps. And if you land on this one, this was always a great one to land on because you went right through nearly to the end. What a great one that was to be. But then a lot of people jumped on 99 and went right back to the beginning nearly. So that's what it was like. And when you get your confession right and you're believing things in your heart and calling those things which do not exist as though they did, things are happening quite well. And you're on track to climb one of those ladders because your confession is good. And you've landed on the ladder and you step up and you start stepping up and you get ahead of the rest of the people really quickly. Your growth is quick. But just when you've got the confession right concerning health and healing, you think, it's good. I'm confessing health and I'm confessing healing. All of a sudden, a large, unexpected bill comes in. Hang on, I wasn't confessing about finances. I was confessing about health and healing. And you find yourself speaking words of doubt and unbelief. I don't know how I can afford this. What am I going to do now? Who can I get a loan from? And so what comes in your vocabulary is words of doubt and unbelief. And before you know it, you've landed right on number 55. And it's a snake. And number 55 is taking you right back down again because you've gone into an area of doubt and unbelief when the first obstacle came your way. And that's what the Christian life is like. If we listen to those things that are put in our way by Satan, they're designed, like snakes, to take us right back down a slippery path, back down right low, where you feel defeated. You feel that you've, all what you've done in the past few months has been a waste. All this confessing doesn't work. And that's what the enemy will tell you. It doesn't work. Faith doesn't work. Because you're down to a place where you slipped down from that place that you got up to, but the problem is you didn't build yourself up properly in the Word. So several months go by and somebody tells you that there's a great seminar on prosperity, and so you attend that and you get back on track. You realize that it was, you weren't sowing. So you get back on track and you start sowing, and all of a sudden you find yourself climbing again those areas. And what you think that now everything's going, you got your confession right concerning health and healing and finances all happening now. But just when you got that all together, you allow your guard to slip again, and your friends are starting to invite you now to out to different things, to see movies, and you're a mature Christian. And it doesn't matter what sort of movie it is, it doesn't matter how bad the sex scenes are or whatever, it's so much fun. And what starts to overtake you is the wrong mindset. And all of a sudden, a few months go past and you don't realize that your confession now has changed. And what you've allowed in your life is the deception. And the enemy set a trap for you again. And now you thought you would cover all, now you got up to number 71, and there's a big trap waiting for us because we haven't built the foundation on this area. And we land on one of the longest and the slipperiest snakes of all. And you read this verse in John 1 John 2 and verse 15. It says, "Do not love the world or the things of the world. If anyone loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of eyes, and the pride of life, is not of the Father, but of the world. And the world is passing away in the lust of it, but he who does the will of God abides forever." So when you see those scriptures, you know that the lust of the eyes, the lust of the world, is from the enemy. And if you're in that area, you won't abide. But if you abide in God, you'll last forever. So despite the withdrawals of the movies and the associated loneliness with being with the wrong type of people, you decide to pick up the Word again and meditate on Psalm 37, verse 5, and it says, "Trust in the Lord and do good. Dwell in the land and feed on his faithfulness. Delight yourself also in the Lord, and he shall give you the desires of your heart. Commit your way to the Lord, trust in him also in him, and he shall bring it to pass." So when you start to meditate the Word and you know where your trust should be, then you find that ladder that takes you right out of that area again. And so important. Now, I'm not saying that we shouldn't see movies. I'm just saying you should guard your heart with all diligence. Because out of it comes or springs the issues of life. So what it means by guarding your heart, you have to guard your spirit man. So you've got to put a guard there. What am I going to allow to come into my heart? Because the eyes, the windows into the soul that will get into your heart, you've got to be careful what you allow yourself to be seeing. You've got to guard it. If you're on that step of growth, you've got to guard your heart. You can't be a double-minded person. So Romans 12 and verse 2 says this, "Do not be conformed to the world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is the good and acceptable and perfect will of God." That's what we're told to do. And just in closing, I'm saying it's time now to grow up. And when we spoke about this passage in Ephesians 4, verse 13 at the beginning, it says, "Till we all come to the unity of the faith, to the knowledge of the Son of God, to a perfect man, to the measure of the stature of fullness of Christ." And verse 14 says this, "That we should no longer be children, tossed to and fro and carried about by every wind of doctrine and trickery of men and cunningness and craftiness and deceitful plotting." So when you're taking that step, no longer should you be tossed to and fro by every wind of doctrine, by every craftiness that the enemy is going to bring. Because he'll blow things across your pathway that will almost seem right, but you know in your spirit they're not quite right. What are they designed to do? To get you back off track again. So that's what teaching and equipping is about, so you're not easily shaken by these things. Because there's so many doctrines that will come your way to try and get you onto a fringe area and get you isolated. It really will. I heard an account just recently by one of the ministers that we meet with in the US, and he said he'd gone to this city to preach at this church, a good church. He's waiting in the lobby of the hotel to be picked up, and he said while he's waiting, he was just enjoying the open fire there, and then he saw this car pull up and a woman who was obviously older got out and with two little kids, assuming that she was obviously a grandmother. And so she came into the lobby and came around the fire where he was, and she started talking and she said, "Oh, I notice you've got a Bible in your hand. Are you a man of faith?" And he said, "Well, yes, I am." And so she said, "Oh, great." He said, "What are you doing here?" He said, "Well, I'm about to go and preach at this church." And she said to him, "Oh, we used to attend that church." "Oh, okay." And in fact, this boy, he got healed at that church. And he said, "But we don't," she said, "but we don't go there anymore." And he said, "Oh, it was a bit embarrassing, you know, because they don't attend that church anymore." They had gone to that church. They'd seen God work and manifest in areas of faith, but what had taken them away from that church? And the thing that had taken them away was interesting. And he was preparing to go, and he could see the car coming to pick him up, and she was saying, "Do you know that," it was around Christmas time, she said, "do you know that Christmas time is actually a pagan holiday? And as it wasn't really, that's not the time when Jesus was born, and so you shouldn't be involved in Christmas. You should Google it. You should look at this thing." And so she'd listened to something very small that had taken away from the mainstream what God was doing. She'd listened to a wind of doctrine that had isolated her from where her prosperity was. In that church, she'd seen her grandchild being healed of a incurable disease. The blessing of God was in that church, but the wind of doctrine had taken her away and isolated her away to keep her separated, where that was her biggest thing, and she was going to tell as many people as she could that Christmas was a pagan holiday. Isn't it interesting how God, you know, tries to take your place, but the enemy's always trying to rob you with something that's minor. Yep. So guard your heart. We have to be on guard in this area because God wants us to grow, but we've got an enemy who wants to pull us back and separate us out and get us not attending church. Get us to a place where we're feeling that we're okay. In fact, we can just flick on the TV or flick on the internet and get our little update from there and feel okay with life. But we need the body of Christ to be accountable to. We are part of the body of Christ, fitted and joined together, where every joint supplying something. So I need you. I need you. You need me. This is God's calling on our life. Let us stand together. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. I've got a confession on here. I want us to say this confession together. So can you come with that? It's a faith confession. So I want us to all read this together, because after a word like this, I think you need to confess things with your words. So this is the word that I want us to say. So starting with in the name of Jesus, 1, 2, 3. In the name of Jesus, I believe God's word. I am what the word says I am. I have what the word says I have. I can do what the word says I can do. In Jesus' name, I render ineffective every negative word I've spoken, every negative thing I've thought, every word and thought that's been contrary to the truth of God's word. From this moment forward, I will acknowledge only the good things that are in me in Christ Jesus. I'm saying it now, out of the good treasure of my heart, only good things will come to pass. I am the righteousness of God, a new creation, an heir of God, and a joint heir with Jesus. I've been delivered from the power of darkness and translated into the kingdom of God's dear Son. I've been redeemed by the blood of the Lamb, redeemed from the curse of the law, redeemed from sickness and disease, poverty and death. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. I'm more than a conqueror. He never leaves me nor forsakes me. Since the greater one dwells within me, I can overcome every situation. The faith of God resides in me, and through it I have the victory that overcomes the world. This is my year for breakthrough. It's my time now. I thank you, Father, that I have all these things. I believe it in my heart. I've released it with my mouth. So be it. It will surely come to pass in Jesus' name.
Amen.
Amen. Do you know that's a confession? As you declare that and believe it, no weapon formed against you will prosper. You've got to take that, confess it, because that's the step of your journey. You've confessed that. Say, this is my year for breakthrough. I receive it now. This is your year for breakthrough. And so that's what I want to do today. If that's your year for breakthrough, we're just going to pray together. And just put that last song on for me if you can. And we're just going to pray together, and we're going to declare that growth is coming right now. Growth is coming right now. And if that's you, I'd say, if you're stepping with this, just raise your hands and say, that's for me, Lord. Growth is for me right now. I'm not coming back, but I'm taking a step forward in the things of God.